Blog Talk Radio. Even though I love you, you gotta think twice.
Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. And again, Happy New Year, as we are still sort of entering the new year. This just being the third week. And I say well because in another real sense, by some standards, the year is zipping by. But nonetheless, we are still, relatively speaking, in the beginning of the year. Not too late to continue or even to establish a reassessment of last year in preparation for your journey into this new year. Excuse me. Just thinking about that gets me all choked up. That was a joke, but I understand not much humor behind it. At any rate, in all seriousness, this is a time to look back on the things last year that you'd like to improve and even forget. And also the things that you like to build on. There's actually a formula behind this. And it starts with writing those things down. It truly does make a difference. There's actually an energy behind it. And those of you who understand that whole concept and principle know what I'm talking about. And for those of you who don't, I'll take a moment and explain it. But before I do that, perhaps I should just let you know you are at the right place at the right time. And my name is Daryl Clark, and I am your host this evening, as I am most Thursday evenings here at Progressive News Weekly. I thank you for taking the time out to join me this evening. And the intent is, by the time the program is over or you have completed your listening, hopefully, pleasure, you will have become more enlightened, more encouraged, more empowered, and hopefully more moved or instilled to take some action, to get involved, to make a difference in your life and thus the lives of those whom are influenced by you, especially those whom you love, for the betterment of us all. And that is our goal here at Progressive News Weekly, where we bring you news and information that's gathered from around the world, around the country, and even within and around your neighborhood. I encourage you to reach out to me and let me know things that are on your mind, information and news, topics, and or guests that our listenership would truly be enlightened to be exposed to. I'd be glad to consider it. Reach out to me. Send me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore CLA18 at MSN.com. Or you could send it to our general mailbox, which is Progressive News, no spaces, simply two words, Progressive News at MSN.com. And we'll retrieve that message and make sure your number is on there. We'll give you a call and we can have some discourse about what's on your mind. Most, if not much of our news, at least, comes from you, the listener, which is why we like to say this is news for you, by you, and of you. It's news truly that you can use. And so with that, we don't leave most weeks without some deliverable, something that you can walk away with as an action item. This evening on Progressive News Weekly is no exception. I'll be joined in just a few minutes by a friend, a colleague, and a mentor, and we'll be discussing our environment. No, not the environment from perhaps a weather perspective, as you may have been thinking, but our environment from a sociological perspective, which may even delve into politics, which I don't favor. However, living in the society in which we live, we are all influenced by politics. And so when we do delve into that mire, I can use a kind word, we do so with an introspective that you may not get from mainstream. We encourage you, as always, to get involved with this discourse, this dialogue. We are live. You'll dial 347-838-9142 should you decide that you want to partake in this conversation. And again, we certainly encourage you to do so, because it's dialogue that makes a difference. It's dialogue that begins to generate energy. We are what we think. We create what we think. And so if you truly want to make a difference, join in this discourse. And if you choose not to, during the course of this program live, you can always send me an email and give me your comments, and we'll certainly bring it up in the weeks ahead. So, sociologically, what's going on, you might ask? Well, you know, in your own mind, you have a strong sense. As I said earlier, or just a few moments ago, actually, this is truly about energy, folks. Make no mistake about it. Some of the most respected educational annuals in the world are coming quickly to realize that. Our thoughts truly do make a difference. Our emotions make a difference. And so for those of us who are enlightened, we can truly impact what's happening around us. And on a global scale, I will say, from my educated and researched perspective, things have never been more dire than they are now. To be living in these days and time, we are exposed to more information than ever before in humankind, to the point of overload, to the point of perhaps, and I believe, even regression to some extent. Oh, that's not to take away the progressive events and occurrences that have happened. I'm not one to say, boy, I regret us having a cell phone. That's not me. But I am one to say, boy, I do regret some of the information technology in the way in which it's being used. And the lack of control. And believe me, I'm all for a free state. But I do believe if we did not have monitoring and law enforcement, our society would be destroyed. Where it's at this point, I do believe that. And so we do need monitoring. We do need governing. We do need to govern ourselves. The concern I have with that is those who are governing us have set a platform with which they are the only ones that are able to make those broad-based decisions that influence so many. If you're not a millionaire, for example, it'd be tough to win a presidential election in these United States. You have to at least have access to multiple millions of dollars. So it's not a grassroots thing, regardless of how intelligent you are. Think about that. Or how much insight or passion or how much capability you have to lead a country and make a difference. So the concern I have with our sociological situation is the infrastructure and the way it's developed to where it's at now. And that leads me into our conversation with our esteemed guest. And as I said, it's truly a joy and a pleasure whenever we have this individual on. Folks, if you want to get on the mail list, drop me an email. Send me an email to progressivenews@msn.com. Or you can send it to my email at Daryl.
That's Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, Gore, C-L-A-1-8, at msn.com. And I'd be more than pleased to add you to my mail list that goes out every week that gives you some insight as to what the upcoming program is going to be about and who, if we're going to have a guest, our guest will be. So with that said, enough of the mystery. Our guest this evening is Mr. Ronald Crenshaw. Mr. Crenshaw is an activist for human and equal rights. He's a research analyst. He's a historian of sorts. And someone that I'm honored to know over many years. He doesn't mince words. And when you walk away from a conversation, you may not agree, but certainly your thinking has been stimulated. And so, Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, as I said, historian, research analyst, crusader for equal and human rights. These are all over more than three decades, by the way. He's laid the pathway to truth and insight when it does come to justice and equal rights. And this is done through his well-researched and derived insight to the issues impacting our society, which is why I like to call him sort of our resident civil analyst, civic, and even political analyst, even though we don't really do politics per se. But as I mentioned, you cannot get around that in this society in which we live in. So this evening, I'd just like to have this discourse with Mr. Crenshaw regarding our political environment currently, get his perspective, which is often very unique and enlightening. And if you'd like to join in, please do so, either live right here, right now, or again, send me an email, and we'll certainly bring it up in a future episode. And make sure that when Ron is with us again, he'll have an opportunity to answer your question or concern. So much going on. Of course, we're in the midst of a government shutdown. There's political upheaval that is going on. If you think about some things that are not in the mainstream news, you really might conclude, well, wait a minute, maybe those are the things. For example, what's going on with our space program that isn't? Those trips that are going out into the space, and significantly manned by our Russian brothers and sisters, and we hop a ride with them, but yet they are supposed to be sort of at a cold war with us. The same thing with China, who provide, I'd say, upwards of 70% of our products. This is a communist country, right? Which is supposed to be the antithesis of what we are. So, yet, this is who we are doing business with. Let's talk about now we get into some touchy subjects, and this will be a great way to bridge Mr. Crenshaw in. Let's talk about our neighbors to the south of us. Of course, our neighbors to the north, Canada, that's another topic in itself with regard to their health care, right? But our neighbors to the south, they are significantly in turmoil. I mean, there's almost basically a government takeover going on there that we don't hear much about. So we need to think about is some of the main things that are going on in the media a distraction to some of the real issues? What about the drones that are now causing problems at our airports? Are we just waiting for a major disaster for some terrorist to decide to launch maybe 50 of them? I'm not encouraging that, but let's keep this real. There's very little monitoring and governing of these. Oh, there are rules and laws. So what are we waiting for? Let's think about what's happening with regard to civil rights as we begin to enter into Black History Month. Let's think about the neo-Nazi movement that is an undercurrent that is as strong as ever. If you haven't seen Glee's latest movie, you really need to go and see it. And not just my African-American and African descent listeners, but especially you, but all listeners to my voice right now. It's very thought-provoking. There's a little political spin in it. I'll let you determine that for yourself. But it's thought-provoking. It truly is. And I encourage everyone to take a look at the movie. By the way, if in case you don't, it's called The Black Klansman, and that's Black Klansman spelled BlackKKKLansman. Well done. I believe one of his best movies. I've seen every movie he's ever made. I think this is in the top. Of course, he got snubbed, which they're going to do. Don't misunderstand me. He was elated the fact that there was an Academy Award for the movie, but relatively speaking, there was a snub overall. But I'm happy for the brother that he did get a nominee for Best Picture and Director. But I still think that relatively, and you'll understand that as you look more into that, because that's not what this program is about, there was still somewhat of a snub there, in that there were no other awards that were nominated there. So all of this going on, underlying, with the main focus being on, dare I say, the five-letter word, Trump, all the focus right there. More to what's going on, folks, than that. And I understand it's an easy thing to focus on. And believe me, especially with the government shutdown, there's a reason why you would, and I certainly being concerned, because we all, I believe, know someone who's affected. Frankly, I'm somewhat affected. really not just broad brush this. So Mr. Crenshaw, who is on the line with us, is very insightful and enlightening on these kinds of topics. Mr. Crenshaw, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. It's a pleasure to have you back online with us this evening.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Daryl. I appreciate you having me back to make my comments and things like that. I do my best to be honest and straightforward. That's what I'd like to say in terms of shutdown. Is I think, well, first of all, let me try to straighten out my thoughts here, because I'm in more than one direction. But anyway, I think in terms of Trump being a step to outright open fascism that has always been current in the U.S. history. It wasn't called that in the past, but that's what it is, because, you know, people going through centuries of slavery, that's what that was, fascism. But to come up to current times, there's been, you know, some mellowing in it. What Roosevelt had to do with bringing in, you know, government subsidies and things of that sort, which were very important to keep the country together. But as I see, there's been a change, and there's been an economic change, and what I see there is that. Now there's a challenge. You mentioned Russia and China, and they are competitors with the United States. And that seems to be what the underlining of part of this problems that we have. And for someone to choose a man of the character of Donald Trump had to be, what should I say, a push with something immediate to kind of like change this, change the outlook, because it's puzzling to see that someone of his nature, you know, he lies, and you know, his lies is as nimble as anybody can, you know, and to have a person that, what should I say, so mixed up is one word for it, because he'll lie and then he'll come back and say, tell another lie on top of the lie, you know, that kind of thing that keeps people kind of wondering where is his head, that sort of thing. So, yeah, there's you know, there's a dizziness going on here. And I think that
you know, Ron, we've been sort of partnering and known each other and having agreeable thoughts, and over this decade, sometimes disagreeable thoughts. We've never been disagreeable, but
sure.
You know, we've had different opinions, and of course, we never let that come between us. And so, I mention all of that to say. You know, I like to throw a curve at you, as you do me sometimes, and it's all good entertainment for the listeners. No, listeners, we don't do that. This isn't entertainment. In all seriousness, Mr. Crenshaw, I remember we've been through. Boy, you know, Ron, we've been working. You've been on the program for, it's been well over 10 years. I'm thinking how many we've been through. Maybe 3 presidents here. So
right.
I'm going back, and I remember your first program, you came on the air. I was so impressed with, you know, your knowledge and acumen. And
right.
You said, we're in a fascist. That was 2 presidents ago. Tell me about that. Now, you're saying that Trump is our first fascist type?
Well,
is this What is it? Is it government? Is it just the issue of the individual? Explain that.
Okay, I'll try to. Well, I guess what I meant was that he's so open with his xenophobia. You know what I mean? He's so open with his xenophobia. I have to go there because it's just not, you know, racist. He's, you know, he has a whole lot of everybody that doesn't look like him seems to be his enemy. You see what I mean? That's why I guess use it, try to use it loosely as fascism, because, you know, anytime people can be murdered that are not committing crime and nothing is done about it, I mean, that's, you know, that's open fascism to me.
Okay, so you've explained your point that there was a sense of fascism in the prior administration and the prior administration to that.
I'm saying it was fascism from the start because, the oppression that started from the start was, you know, indentured, they call it indentured servitude. But it couldn't be democracy because there was indentured servitude. Now, Africans initially coming over were indentured servants. But then when, you know, the rebellions came, they decided, well, we're going to have to try to divide these groups and have whites as superior to them, you know, bringing on the class question. So that's for the division to treat blacks more brutal than whites. You see, so in other words, when we think of imperialism, we have to realize what that really means. That means going to another country and subduing them whatever ways necessary. If there's resistance, you brutalize them so that they have to kneel to you. And that's been going on, you know, at least since the latter part of the 18th century, which is the 1700s. So
yeah,
and
this didn't start the last
20
years.
I'm late with that because I have to really realize the American Indian and what was done to the American Indian.
Oh.
So I have to make apology for not realizing that should have been included right away. I mean, how they were treated, you see, broke all the treaties and things of that sort. On and on and on, and you know, and Oklahoma was supposed to be Indian land, and they took that away and stuff. You know, as they got the oil there, they took the Oklahoma away from the Indians and gave them a little piece. You know,
fascism in a different flavor, just same fascism, different day and time, different person at the helm, and just a different flavor to it. When Bush was in office, there was a fascism of a certain site, a certain type, the warmonger.
Right.
When I have to say this, but you know it is what it is. And when Obama was in office, there was a certain different type of fascism going on there, different levels and different flavors of fascism. And you're saying, you know, we can go back to Clinton and beyond, when black men were imprisoned in multitude of numbers, and no one really realized and thought about it until after, you know, he had moved on. So again, a different type of fascism taking place. So just to understand what you're saying is, no, you don't renege, you don't turn back on what you had said in those past years and 10 or so years ago. You stand on what you're saying. In fact, you would go beyond the last three or four administrations.
Yeah.
I think you mentioned early on in our history.
Right.
So it's nothing new.
No.
Is that
and
what I'm getting?
What is connected, and what I should say, actually, is the institution of capitalism itself. That's the heart of it.
The heart of fascism?
Yes, that's the heart of the fascism, is the institution of capitalism itself, because it's based on a profit system. And being based on a profit system, therefore, it has to acquire wealth. Therefore, to acquire wealth, it requires that you must subjugate where the wealth comes from, and that's labor. So if you're going to subjugate labor, that means that for a profit system, it has to be a relationship between those who are the ruling elites and those who are not the ruling elites. That's Marxism, and that's the critique that I go off of. That's the critique.
And we have to realize
that that's what we're up against. And, I mean, you know, we have the little incident. Well, it's not, I don't know, how do I frame it? The incident with Martin Luther King coming forward and elaborating on the relationship between the United States and Vietnam before the United States attacked it. And he delivers the entire scenario of how things went down actually. And for that, he was assassinated because he did really what was in the, let's see, what was called the, I'm trying to think of the name of it. a book was written. My memory fails me right again. I can't think of it right now. Oh, come to me and I'll mention it to you. Anyway, there was a book written by the I can't think of his name either. Gee whiz. It's very embarrassing when you're trying to, you know, express things to the public that are important for there to, you know, to say it, you know. But anyway, how Vietnam started, and that's what he delineated, how it really got going. And it was also put out in print, but it was... you know, put out in print, and it goes on the bookshelves, and people don't get into things like that because they're, you know, kind of, they're very political, and a lot of people don't, you know, want to be involved in politics. They don't think that it does anything to get involved with. Things will be the way that they, you know, are going to be. That's all. I gotta get that memory going. So anyway, so what I'm saying that's what we're up against, and we have to realize that the government is controlled, the media is controlled, because how else are people going to be kept from realizing what is really going on? And that's the big issue, keeping people unaware of what actually goes on underground. And that's a big thing, because if people are educated to what's really going on, there's going to be a lot of, upheavals, and they don't need that. That doesn't help the system to maintain itself. You with me or?
Yep, I am very much with you. You said quite a bit that has been enlightening. and in explaining your perspective and position as to why this isn't a current administrative term, that fascism word.
Yeah.
I mean, there are those that, and that's why I started earlier in this conversation when I opened up the program discussing all of the other issues going on, but our focus is on a five-letter word, man's name, Trump, while we are being distracted from other things that are going on and the broader picture, because fascism is not a right-wing thing.
That's right.
Talk to me. Talk to me. I mean, I'm just putting that out there. This is my perspective from many, many years, having talked to many, many political analysts, such as yourself and historians. It is not a right-wing thing. So as bad as Trump is, let's not give him too much credit.
Well, I just...
Let's not give him the credit of coming up with fascism. That's like Gore inventing the internet. Let's not do this, folks.
Right.
Talk
okay.
with me, Mr. Crenshaw. Your thoughts on that statement.
Well, it is a...
he's the flavor of the month of fascism, maybe, but don't think that he's the only flavor.
You see, it's a method of behavior. And that's what, you know, it brutalizes people. You know, it's like the people coming up from South America, Central South America, and, you know, they're here because of the past behavior of the United States in their countries. They're not here just because they want to be here. It's what the United, you know, CAFTA and NAFTA have set upon in their countries, and how their governments have been starting to treat them badly. And every time they try to get a person who's going to help out, he gets either assassinated or driven out of the country, whichever. And,
you think the United States is involved with that? I mean, you're saying a lot of what they're dealing with is a reflection of United States involvement? I'm not sure I heard you allude to that, maybe not those words.
Yeah, absolutely.
But how do you relate NAFTA as an example? I heard you say CAFTA to that scenario of mass exodus.
Yes.
It seems like just the opposite, that, you know, NAFTA, the free trade agreement, is saying that, okay, we want to have free trade across the borders, which, many of those protectionists would say, no, we don't need to be trading back and forth, because ultimately all the businesses are going to be moving south to some extent, from what I've seen, seems to be the case, because of cheap labor.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not sure how, if the labor is going there, that they're racing out. I'm not sure I get that.
Well, what NAFTA did or is doing is a thing where the U.S. corporations go down and they buy up the land. Now, the land was being the farmers were working the land and they moved off. So, therefore, they have to be obliged to those who hold the land. So they're not being treated, equally or anything like that. So things are difficult. People who want to resist get killed if they resist. So, I mean, it's just like what's happening to Venezuela now, what has happened to Brazil, what has happened to a couple of other, Bolivia trying to, take over their countries themselves and how they've been treated. And what it is, too, with with Trump in particular, what he's come over with is he's starting now to do a little badgering with his NATO allies. And you see, that's why I said Trump is a little more than what has happened before, because it's the system. See, the system of capitalism is never level, or can I say that, or, you know, continuous in how it thrives. It has ups and downs, ups and downs. The downs are the depressions, and then they have the booms, so they call it boom and bust. Boom and bust.
Mm.
Well,
mm.
The United States hasn't gotten out of the collapse of 2008. So it's got the competitors of China on the uprise and starting to challenge the United States technologically. So that's a big thing. And now they're trying to, how can we get around this? How can we stay in front? So that brings on tensions, you see. So we're dealing with kind of like there's a little fear going on here. How are we going to keep this power we have without, you know, eliminating ourselves? That's a big thing, because if one of these powers get together, they're going to be able to eliminate one or the other, or the whole mass of the planet. So, you know, we have that kind of problem going on, because that's what the tariffs was about. The tariffs was about even making the allies pay a certain amount for exports that are coming from the United States, or no, imports, I'm sorry, pay tariffs on the imports. I have to get that straight, because that'll be a big blunder if I don't, you know, recite that correctly. So that's the tension. So now the allies are getting wobbly, because they're seeing that the United States is kind of like pushing them a little. So you got all that complexity going on, and the uncertainty, and Trump is sort of like a symbol of it because of his actions. And now he's, you know, pushed things beyond what can be reconciled, because the shutdown is actually hurting more white workers than black, because there's more whites in the country. You see, that's dating. You see, so that makes things very wobbly, and it's got to be some kind of structure that will hold things together. Are you with me, or?
I want to try to stimulate some dialogue, even with our listeners, and if not, that they care to.
That's good.
Put themselves out far enough to actually, you know, dial that number and have a comment, if nothing else, to walk away somewhat mentally stimulated to have dialogue in their homes or in their workplaces or in their neighborhoods. I mention that as I hear the political drama taking place in mainstream, which, of course, we have to be very careful of because our mainstream is unreliable. You cannot get legitimate information, these are my opinions, folks, from CNN, MSNBC, or Fox, because
that's
they're
true.
All biased. You have extreme left-wingers, and there are those that say, oh, boy, Mr. Clark, Darrow's gone, right? No, don't try to pigeonhole me. I'm just going to keep it real and let the chips fall where they may. And that's why I open the lines up for anyone to dial 347-838-9142. And we can have a conversation that is stimulating without it being disagreeable. my concern is that you have mainstream media, i.e., even on Sunday morning, NBC and CBS getting into the fold of extreme leftism. And that gets into that whole capitalist thing that I hear you talk about. And as I go on the web and look in different annuals of reading.
Darrell, are you there?
Extreme right-wing thing. Not true, as you alluded to earlier. So my concern is with, for example, this shutdown, what stake has the, and I don't like using left-right because it's all the same bird, right-wing, left-wing, and,
right.
You know, and I, you know, you heard the term flip the bird, you know, I mean, it's all one bird to me. And so I'm very, very conscious of what I'm being attempted to be indoctrinated with on that screen. Because we used to call it back in corporate getting earlobes and eyeballs. And that's what we are, folks. We're earlobes and eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're eardrums and eyeballs to these corporations, to these government entities. And it's all about influence and control and power. But then where it gets a little bit sticky with a lot of folks is when you start to question the mainstream left wing, Democrats.
Right, right, right.
It's like people are afraid to say black now. No, I'm not talking about Latino agenda. I'm talking about a black agenda. I'm talking about a white agenda, a Latino agenda. I mean, we're all one race, folks.
That's true.
Understand that. But as we exist right now, challenges. We have different challenges, in my opinion. But I don't want to go there right now. I want to come back to where I was headed with all of it.
Seems to be getting cut off.
Extremists, these right-wing extremists. But then you have these left-wing extremists. And we all know, you know, these right-wing extremists, conservatives as they are called. But we have to be very careful because politics is dirty in so many ways. And I'm not broad-brushing it. Because I know there are politicians out there who have really good hearts and mean well and want to do good. But it's hard to be in that arena and not gain some power to lean too far in that one direction in which you claim to be, whether it's Democrat or Republican, which is why I
I hear you. Are you there?
The thing, this extreme media thing. No one's saying, well, okay, what is your position? I don't hear enough Trump. People say I hear too much Trump. I don't hear enough him being interviewed one-on-one. I hear him in front of 50,000 people, but I like to see NBC. I like to get an interview. I like to hear them say he refuses.
I'm getting cut off for some reason. I don't understand why.
I'm being asked the tough questions to hear what those answers would be. I'd like to know. And before I hear that, I'm not going to broad brush, though I have my opinions. I do have my opinions based on what I see and hear, the little that I see and hear, because I can't get any real media. So I'm very cautious before saying, oh, this whole shutdown, and this is my bottom line with this, and I'm going to turn the mic back to you. This whole shutdown is due to Trump. I have my questions about that. I really do.
Yeah.
Because this is
good.
A perfect storm for a left-wing Democrat to push their agenda, concerned about their agenda historically. I'm just saying. What's your thoughts about that, Mr. Crenshaw?
Well, I can't disagree with you at all. Because, as I've said before,
you could.
Said
if
before,
you felt that way.
It's one party. It's a one-party system. They just have one, a right wing and a left wing. So, in other words, the best example I can give is when Obama, the people asked Obama for a single-payer insurance. Obama says, I can't give you that. But what I can do is give you, you know, more more of the what we already have. Medicaid, Medicare.
Uh-oh.
I can give you that.
You were cut out. You were cut out for just a moment. It seems
really,
take it from the top because I don't want our listeners to miss any of what you're saying because it seems like the moment you began to say something against the Democrats. Your mic got cut off.
Right.
I mean, come on, folks. Please take that from
when
the top.
Obama said, I can't give you a single payer. I can give you, you know, more Medicare, more Medicaid. That's what that new policy for medical aid and stuff.
My insurance doubled.
I'm part of it.
Middle class insurance doubled.
Right. See? So, that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. I didn't think of that way, but that could be what it is. Well, it's got to come out that way because, as I said, it's one party. Actually, it's one party. But they have two wings of the one party. One party wants to appear to help. The other party says, no, I want it for myself. And I want to get as much out of it as I can. Whereas the Democrats will say, well, you'll get the better part of it. But let the poor have a little more, just a little more, and that kind of stuff. But it's still going to be oppression. And it can't stay away from that. Because, the working class is oppressed, period. And it's just that a lot of people don't think of themselves as working class once they make a certain salary, you see. But whatever they're making can be taken away, can drop. That's all. It can drop. So, whatever that is.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn.
You're in the right ballpark. Because, they're going to get together and tap down from what they've done. But it still has to maintain its own social order. And that's the profit system. And that leads to I have to kill people because of the profit system.
Now you're getting a little deep on me here, Ron. What do you mean by that?
I mean, what do you call an invasion? What do you call the invasion on Afghanistan or the invasion on Iraq? What do you call those? The invasion of Grenada? I mean, what do you call those? That's what it is. I mean, what do you call the assassination of various leaders that they don't like? I mean, Haiti.
Venezuela.
They're trying to get rid of Maduro and Venezuela because he's a socialist.
He was killed, wasn't he?
That was an attempt.
No, are we talking the same country here?
Oh, maybe not.
Who was the leader? I'm talking.
And, you just mentioned Venezuela, so I said Maduro.
Yes.
Right. There was an attempt on his life, but now they have another guy that's supposed to be going, challenging him for the presidency. And, you know, that's an inside fight, and, you know, who's pushing it? The U.S. I mean, look what happens between Israel and the Palestinians, and the U.S. backs it all the way. One fellow came out on TV. He was working with CNN. He came out and put it in the U.N., what the United States, what the Israel is doing to the Palestinians. He got fired from CNN, and CNN fired him, period.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't tell any lie. He told the truth. So that's why I guess people want to stay away, because they go along to get along, and there's fear. And there's, you know, there's fear for everybody. But, I mean, you got to, you know, you got to spread the news some way, because that's what's going on. And, yeah, it's rough. It's really rough. And but there's a struggle. See, and there has to be a struggle. That's the thing. Everybody in the struggle doesn't get killed, but a lot of people do. And we see that. I mean, we see that. We saw Malcolm, you know, and King, and numerous others in the South when you know, during the, you know, the thing that was going on in the South, trying to get equality and stuff. Of course, they never got the equality because that wasn't in the books. But they got something.
Well, what's your thoughts, as an example, talk about regimes being taken down of Muammar Gaddafi?
Again, the same thing. It's imperialism. Muammar Gaddafi nationalized his oil, and Rockefeller hit the ceiling. So eventually they had to get rid of him. That was it.
Okay, so that was capitalism. That was about money.
Right, and that was done under Obama.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes,
was done under Obama, and he had a hit list of people to be assassinated.
Yeah,
what
well,
else?
We can we know what he picked up where Bush left off with that whole manhunt, right?
Right, right. And look what happened under Bush, 9/11. And that, the way those buildings came down, I think I've mentioned how that took place. That was
yeah,
controlled.
Yeah, you
demolition.
Gave us some history. Yeah, you gave us some history on that one. Yeah. So would that all be considered somewhat fascist then, and to some extent a loose definition related to fascism when you have governments that are engaging in covert, intense activity that is designed to just be a controlling factor?
Right. I mean, I used to get the magazine called Covert Action, Report, I think it was. They had, of course, they went out of business because, you know, they don't get much, not many people want to buy it. You see what I mean? Because people are afraid. Let's face it. People are afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah,
where it goes.
Are.
They are afraid. They see what happens. They are afraid. It's fear. We all have fear. I have fear, too. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I don't have any fear. I do have fear.
Well, you're human, and so, you know, you almost have to be subhuman not to. And there are some subhuman people, I believe, out here who really, literally, you know, have little fear. They have some, but very little. They're almost heartless. You almost have to be heartless to, you know, have little fear. And, but there are some.
Yeah, maybe, probably so. Probably so, those were willing. Because King, when he made his speech, he said to him, you know, he told the public, right after the speech that, yeah, I'm not going to meet you at the end of this, and said, no, I won't be there. I understand I won't be there. Because, you know, I know it's coming, because I'm not supposed to be telling you all this about Vietnam. And that was the thing. He
well,
told
that was
how,
more of a golden
you know,
heart than heartless.
Yeah, I mean, he told
that was the other extreme.
Yeah, the French couldn't do it in Vietnam, so the United States said, well, I'll have to do it, because I don't want communism spreading. That's
mm-hmm.
it. I don't want communism spreading. So they had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. See, and of course, they weren't successful, but they was successful in one point where, you know, Vietnam has been sort of isolated, just like Cuba, isolated. See, because Cuba is Marxist. So they got by because mm-hmm. I guess they didn't have money much, what should I say?
Demand.
Yeah, Russia, not much to take out of there. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I understand exactly what you're saying. That's a very interesting perspective, too. You know,
yeah.
How is it that they just kind of lull over there? Well, they aren't much of a threat.
Right,
and
Haiti. They took Aristide out of his own country.
Mm-hmm.
They went in and took him out. They paid the guys that started the overthrow. They paid them to do it. And then they take him out of there and put him in an African country. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. I mean, you go into a country and take the leader out?
Mm-hmm.
Just
literally.
Literally take him out.
Yeah. And those are the kinds of things that I'm talking about at the beginning of the program, listeners, when I say distractions. Let's be very careful. And that's why I use the bumper tune. We opened up with a bumper tune, and I can't remember who it was. Think Twice was the name of the tune. Think Twice.
Uh-huh.
And it's so apropos. And we may even end on that. Very rarely do I end and open with the same bumper tune. But, folks, we need to think twice. Everything is not what it appears to be.
That's
we
right.
We have to think twice, especially right now in this perfect storm. They're saying we're going to shut down Trump's address.
Uh-huh.
I forget what you call it. Excuse me.
The State of the Union. Right.
That's some bull macalaca fracking crap. I want to hear it. You see why it's a perfect storm? You see how there's an agenda on both sides?
Right.
He might have one thing that we want to hear. He may have something that really is legitimately we want to hear. But we're going to take this opportunity, and we don't want the public to hear that at all.
Uh-huh.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I believe it's wrong on left. And the folks that have the nerve, like Schumer, you talk out both sides of your mouth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talk about outside.
Never
this is a man who talked about, I'm all for the wall when Obama was there. We're going to build a wall.
Really? I forgot.
And then he claimed, I've got it on tape. I have it
really?
On tape. Next program, we will play it. I've got him on tape saying, I'm all for this wall.
Really?
And then,
wow.
Oh, yeah. And then now he sits in the White House and says, I've never been for a wall.
Wow.
So we have to be careful being political pawns, people. If you think you into a political mode, and I hear it every day where I work. I hear it every day on the neighborhood. People think they're politicians because they can talk some politics based on what they've been spoon-fed.
Right.
Now, hey, listen, I ain't no Trumpster. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to be played either by the left wing.
Right.
Because they got an easy target. I'm not going to be played like that. I'm not going out like that, folks, and I advise you not to do the same. You might, if you really want to get halfway halfway informed, you might want to just, instead of just keying in on CNN all day like a drone and MSNBC, you may want to just filter it. It's like acid versus alkaline. I'm going to go holistic on our listeners for a moment, Mr. Crenshaw.
You know, I hear that. I know what you're saying.
We take in too much acid in our bodies, and it causes everything from cancer to lupus to diabetes and other illnesses. It's a medical fact, whether your doctor wants to know it or not. So we need to take in, you know, a certain amount of alkaline to balance. Now, what happens sometimes, people go extreme on the alkaline side. You got to have some acid. You will die if you don't have a certain amount. And when I say acid, I'm not talking about like hydrochloric. Come on, folks, stay with me here.
Right.
I'm talking
right.
about acidic foods versus alkalinic foods.
Right.
If you don't have any acidic foods, you won't have any digestion, folks. You got to – how you think your food digests, right, in your stomach, right? I mean, you got to have some – so what we're doing is we're spoon-feeding on so much alkaline. And what I'm saying is you may want to just catch maybe 10 minutes of Fox News to give yourself some kind of balance. Because if you're just listening to one network and one perspective, you're going down the world backwards, folks. If you think you can trust the Democrats 100%, then you better think about Tamir Rice. Help me.
I'm glad you mentioned her.
Help me, Mr. Crenshaw, because I know you did a whole show with us on it. The brother in New York with the cigarettes. The brother in Baltimore. If you want to say that you can trust your Democrat, let's just say 600 people killed in south side of Chicago.
Oh.
There should have been a state of an emergency. It's easy to be a backseat driver, but under my watch, I'd at least been using some profanity on the White House steps.
Yeah.
So, folks, please. Just try to open up your mind.
Yeah, and what happened
you're
in
being
Detroit?
If you're not open up your head to the possibility, you're fooling yourself. You got to think twice. You got to think more. Write down what's happening. Target it. Careful going one extreme or another. Because if you sit up and listen to CNN, and I've seen it happen with colleagues, family.
Right.
And I'm saying, where are you getting this from? You don't listen to CNN? Honey, I was on CNN all day. Oh, my God. You better be careful. You're too alkaline.
Yeah.
You better get
some
acid in there. You better spend maybe 10 minutes on Fox. You might find something about those folks that you would die for on that Democratic side.
Yeah.
That you might find out somewhere down the line, like we found out about Clinton. And more African Americans being jailed under Clinton than any other time in the history of the United States of America?
That's right.
Don't let this happen to you again 20 years from now when you say, wow, I never realized that.
No.
Gee.
Yep.
Open up your heads, folks. Open up your minds.
Right.
All that left ain't right. I like that one. All that's
very
left
good.
Is not right.
Right.
I have to put that in writing.
Right. That's good.
And all that's right ain't left.
Yes.
Think about it, folks. Think about it. Ron, I'm going to let you close out this this program. We have a few more minutes. What's your thought overall about this shutdown?
Well, I think they are going to come to some kind of – they're going to stop it because it's hurting the infrastructure of, you know.
Let me intervene real quick. I heard something very interesting. I don't know if I was on the train or somewhere, and I heard – it was so uplifting. I heard somebody say and it was a person that was – I don't know. Where was it? If it comes to me next week, I'll mention it. But it was a Democrat that said, you know, I'm getting sick of this now. And they were acknowledged Democrat. I'm getting sick of this now. Why don't the Democrats just do something? I got relatives now that are out of work. Just give the man something.
Yeah.
You're starting to think twice. You're starting to say, wait, you're starting to question these Democrats. You got to question the Democrats, folks.
And
man,
the Republicans.
Ain't the one that said, this is it. You got to question both sides. You can't say it's all but – listen, you had Schumer who said, I'm all for a wall 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, folks. And I'm not saying I'm all for this wall, but I will say one thing. Let's be very careful, because what's going on into our border of the South, we better get some kind of restrictions going on.
But let me just say this.
Be careful now.
Okay.
I'm not saying it has to be a wall, but we need to protect ourselves too.
They have a regime
down there in Mexico, the likes of you don't even want to think about, that's running that government. Excuse me. I want to say this. Your mic.
Well, if the wall was so important, the Pentagon should have been told to build it. The Pentagon, that's supposed to be our protection, right? Why didn't they have the Pentagon to do that? Why did it have to come back to the American working class? Okay, so that's it for me, you know, right?
I understand. I understand. Let's get our military to weigh in on it. If it indeed is, it's not just about immigrants, and it is a safety, security issue because of the criminals that are coming across, then let's get engaged with as you say, you know, our from a military perspective. Because I do believe it, there may be something to it from that perspective. But then we have to be careful, because we know what happened with the Noriega affair. So,
you
say Pentagon, can we trust that too? You see, so it's much deeper, folks, than what meets the eye. You just can't say, well, why can't the military? Well, military ain't been had their hands clean.
Well, no, I didn't mention that because I felt the wall should be built. I don't even agree with the wall being built, because they already have one and they have people down there that monitor the wall. So the wall is something, what's the word for it? Is something unnecessary, really, because they already have a wall and they already have guards guarding the wall. They already have, things that let you know when somebody's in one area and the other, electronic mechanisms that can monitor the wall.
See, that's the dialogue I'd like to hear more about. I'd like to hear a serious, neutral, if that exists in the media today, interview with Trump. That's our president, folks. I pray for the man. And I prayed for Obama. I prayed for Bush. I pray for our country and our world, folks. And if you're so heinous that you can't do that, shame on you. And let me just say this. It's not easy when you know somebody that is not doing things in your best interest to pray for them. It's not an easy thing. I've lived it. I've lived it at my job. But at a point in time, you got to bring the supreme power in the play. That's my bias there, okay? I'm gonna let that go. But let me come back to that whole thing about the military and the wall and the surveillance. I'd like to see that interview. Why haven't we seen a really hard hitting, unbiased interview with our president? Can we get it? I mean, I'd like to hear someone like you. I'd love to have you interview our president, Mr. Crenshaw.
Yeah.
There's no bias. You would come straight down Euclid Avenue, which is, I'm bringing Cleveland in here, straight down Broadway. You know,
okay. Utica is good.
You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Straight down Broadway. Straight down at Atlantic Avenue. You know what I'm saying, Ron. I threw one in there for you, Brooklyn and Queens. But you know what I'm saying. So they would ask the questions, well, why isn't the military involved in this? Why haven't we heard those questions asked of the man himself? Why do I have to hear it from 360, whatever, I forget his name, on CNN, or the other guy on interview. Why do I have to hear it from an extremist, from Hannity? Why can't I hear it just from a Walter Cronkite kind of an interview. Those days are gone, folks. We better wake up and think twice.
Right. They can't talk about it.
I mean, I'd like to hear the man in an interview.
Man, was the Pentagon Papers, and that delineated.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's the book, Pentagon Papers.
Thank you. I knew it would come to you, Mr. Crenshaw. Let's go look it up. Well, Pentagon Papers, is that it?
That's the title of it. I can't think of the author either right now. That hasn't come to me because I didn't find the
That's all right, but the Pentagon Papers, we can Google it. We can Google it. Folks, we're just trying to stimulate some thought. This isn't about right-wing or left-wing or pro-Dem or pro-Republican. This is about just what's best for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. It's about what's best for our society. And we got to think outside of this box that we find ourselves in by getting grilled in by one position or another. That's all that I'm saying. And I
Daniel
agree with
Ellsberg.
Mr. Crenshaw.
Daniel Ellsberg is the name.
All right. Let me write that down.
Daniel
Ellsberg, like E-L?
Huh? Daniel?
Did you say?
Oh, boy. Come on. Oh, Ellsberg, E-L. S, I think. Then Berg, B-R-G, something like that.
Okay, Daniel. Yeah, you know, Google will put the blanks in for us. And you said the Pentagon Papers is another reference.
That's just what King got the information right out of there.
Daniel
Ellsberg.
He's
the one explosive.
Folks, you heard it here. Just Google it, and we don't have to go to necessarily Barnes & Noble right away if you can get the book there. But Pentagon Papers, and Daniel Ellsberg is an author of the book?
Right, because he worked with the Rand Corporation that developed the stratagem for that. See, they're always think tanks. Presidents don't declare what the political policy is going to be. The think tanks do that for the ruling elites.
Mm-hmm. Whether they be left-wing or right-wing, am I correct?
Correct.
Because they all have think tanks, folks. And if you're succumbing by watching one droned network, you're a victim of a think tank, left-wing or right-wing.
That's right.
If all you watch is Fox, you're a victim. And if all you watch is CNN, you're a victim.
Right. Well, they've proved themselves by firing the fellow that criticized Israel for its relationship to the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, you heard it.
The United States is the one that funds them.
So just think twice, folks. Ron, it's been a pleasure. I'm looking forward to the next time. Next month is Black History Month. I know you'll hopefully slot a little time for us to come in and share some of nuggets of knowledge sometime in the course of the month, I hope. But we certainly appreciate you. For those who tuned in late or if you are listening on the archives and you caught it late, you are listening to Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, activist for human and equal rights, research analyst, historian. Ron is just simply one who speaks truth to power. And for three decades or more, Ron's been laying out the pathway to truth and insight when it comes to justice and equal rights. And through his well-researched and derived insight to the issues impacting our society, Ron provides a provocative information base that you don't typically hear on mainstream media. Mr. Crenshaw, thank you so much for taking the time out to join us again this evening. It has been enlightening, encouraging, empowering, and it's instilled me to certainly keep moving and make a difference and get involved and write letters. Folks, when you see something that's not right, write a letter. Or make a phone call. Tell you what, when you go in a supermarket and you see something that's just simply garbage on the label, most of the companies now have toll-free numbers. Make a phone call. Say, you know what, I noticed that you've got genetically modified food in this ketchup here, and then right next to it it says no GMO. Why are you still selling GMO? Just ask some questions sometimes. Think twice, folks. Ron, again, we thank you. We care about you. We appreciate you. And certainly we hope that you'll come back soon and join us. And to our listeners, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. Yeah, sometimes we're hard-hitting and sometimes we disagree. But let's not be disagreeable, as my mentor, Mr. Dick Gregory, used to say. Daryl, keep doing what you're doing. Never stop. Never be afraid. Keep speaking truth to power, and you'll make a difference. Someday, eventually, you'll make a big difference. And I'm going to stand on that, which he's encouraged me to do, along with other folks such as Mr. Crenshaw, to keep on doing what I'm doing to make a difference, to just speak the truth that I know. And our lines are always open and live, so it's not a one-sided view like you may hear on CNN or MSNBC or Fox News. We try to keep it fair and equitable and balanced, and that's what it's really all about. Tell someone about Progressive News Weekly, and more importantly, tell that person that you think or you claim to care about. Let them know. Not just show it. And showing it is important. Of course, action speaks louder than words, but it's nice to hear it as well. So tell that person that you care about, especially if they're across the miles, like across the country or the other side of town. Reach out. Reach out and just give them some verbal love as well, because there's power in it. It's energy. As Master Glenn would say, everything is energy, and energy is everything, and our thoughts are things. And we can make a difference with all this mess going on in our environment and our society. Just think positive about it. You know, just don't think hate. Yeah, Trump got issues, obviously. But so does some of my cousins. So
mine. We all.
Come on, folks. I got mine, as many of them could tell you. I hope they don't. So let's think twice and make a difference. Ron, until next time, let's
Thank
talk
you.
Offline. You know we got to follow up with this.
Yes.
Take care, folks.